I was a paramedic for a little over a week before I put in my resignation. Yes, I'd gone through a lot of school and a lot more debt to be in this position. But after the case I'm about to describe, I couldn't bring myself to go back to work. Not there, anyways. It was a bright sunny day, just past noon, when we got the call. The police had already been called after the neighbors reported that there was something leaking from under their neighbor's garage door. They told the operator that they assumed it was red paint, but wanted to make sure. So, the cops had beat us there, of course. So when we arrived, the garage door was already open, but the cops had hung up a large black tarp in its place as a makeshift screen so no one could see inside. Now, I knew this job could get messy, and one has to have a tough composition to work in this field, no doubt. But nevertheless, the moment we walked in, I think the blood drained from all of our faces. The garage was in a state of complete disarray, an utter wreck, as if a rabid wolf had ripped through the place in a rampage, tearing apart about 3 dozen pillows or something like that, as there was a mess of stuffing and fabric debris scattered all over the place. The only thing that seemed to be somewhat unscathed was this thing that looked to be a big anthropomorphic dog that was leaned up against a stack of boxes in the corner of the garage. That thing was quite an eye-catcher. But of course, that wasn't really what grabbed our attentions. It took a moment for the picture before me to really sink in, and then I had to stifle a scream as the reaction attempted to tear through me. In fact, I could kind of understand why the neighbors thought this was red paint. It was just so deep, and there was just too much of it for it to be anything but. The walls, the floor, even the ceiling seemed to be completely drenched and stained with dried red liquid. There were some other bits, too. Shining, gooey clumps that seemed to be aggregated in a few piles on the floor that were varying shades of purple, red, and brown. One of my coworkers ran outside, and I heard the sound of dry heaves behind me. I clasped my hand over my mouth and tried to keep it together as I continued scanning the room. Where was the body? My eyes, initially taken by the shock and distraction of the scene, now scanned with increasing speed. I couldn't spot a single piece larger than those little slimy piles I'd already mentioned. But nothing close to a cadaver. I felt myself getting dizzy and stepped outside to get some air myself. After a minute, a police officer walked up to us and asked if we'd gotten a peek inside yet. I just gave him a look that he thankfully understood as, "What do you think?" He told me they were still trying to find the bulk of the remains and that they called us in as a precautionary measure in case the victim was somehow still alive. "You really think that's a possibility?" I asked. The officer clearly didn't think so, but explained they just wanted to cross their T's and dot their I's. I guess I could kinda understand. But in this situation? Come on. Suddenly, I heard some commotion from behind the tarp. I peeked inside to find about three officers huddled near the animatronic, though staring at the ground. The way they were positioned, I couldn't see what they were looking at exactly. So I walked up and tried to pry my way into their circle, where I, unfortunately, got a pretty good look. It was only for a moment before one of the officers grabbed me by the shoulders and started guiding me outside, but it was long enough to sear the sight deep into my memory. They were staring into a cardboard box, a small one, mind you. But inside was a man, or what was left of him, anyways. His dry and shriveled skin looked white as snow, and his body was laid in a humped up little pile, like he was nothing more than a piece of old laundry that was haphazardly thrown on the floor, like his bones weren't even there. Or perhaps, more likely, were broken to dust. His mouth hung open like the stretched out neck of an old t-shirt, and there were no eyeballs beyond the hollow lids. His nose was nothing but a caved-in stump. I had no idea how tall this man was, but this pile of skin and hair before us was no taller than a few inches. Back outside, I ran to the side of the yard and vomited my guts out. My coworkers were already back in the ambulance, ready to leave, and after I composed myself, I joined them. The cops had found the body and no longer had any possible use for us. So, we left. I struggled to finish the day. I found myself unable to shake the trauma of that scene. That night, I spent most of my time going between my bed and the toilet, vomiting or usually just dry heaving, as the image from the day possessed my mind. I called in sick the next day, and as my little problem continued, the day after that as well. I started to feel a little better around the afternoon of the second day and decided to head down to the local PD. I just could not get that scene out of my head, and though I knew it was a long shot, I figured there was always a chance that they could have some information that would at least fill in some gaps, some unknowns, so maybe my mind can find its way to move on. At the time, it felt like my only hope. As it turns out, they don't like to talk about ongoing investigations, but I was able to get in a room with one of the cops I had seen at the scene that day. I think he could see how shaken up I still was and took pity on me. So he was willing to talk, albeit just a little. I asked him if they'd caught the monster responsible for this, and he just shook his head. I asked if they have any clue who did this or why, and he just stood there, unmoving for a moment, before he said, "Now, before we found the body, the boss thought it could have been a robbery gone wrong, but there was no sign of forced entry, and seemingly nothing stolen." Well, that theory was pretty well put to bed the moment we looked in that box. I just stared at the man. "Is there nothing you can tell me?" He locked eyes with me again. I could tell he wanted to help me, but just didn't know how Listen, I really couldn't give you the full picture even if I had the details, but I'll tell you this in complete honesty. As of right now, I've basically told you everything we know, which is to say, we don't know squat. All we've got is a horror show of a scene and no explanation that seems plausible. I wish, truly, I wish I had more to tell you. I sighed in disappointment, but nodded in acknowledgement. I believed he was doing his best. I figured there was nothing more for me to do, so I went to leave. But just as I was about to excuse myself, as my gut warned it wanted to try and purge again, he suddenly spoke up. One thing. Well, this is not really very important when it comes to the actual investigation itself, but a little interesting anecdote for you, since you came all this way. We took some of the evidence-covered materials from the scene to let forensics deal with them, along with the remains, of course. Well, one of the materials we recovered was that big dog doll he had in the corner. Well, it turned out to be an old, decommissioned animatronic. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, when the forensics team came in this morning, the doll was gone. I mean, it was locked up in storage tight, very secure, and everything. But this morning, it was just missing. We still don't know where it could have gone. Pretty strange. But, on a somewhat funnier note, I heard one of the forensics guys call this the animatronic paint job case. Kind of funny, right? I just stared at him again. And as that information sank in, I found myself walking out of the room, the building, without another word. I felt just as sick as I did the night of the incident. I dropped a letter off at the hospital yesterday, giving them notice of my resignation. I just, at least as of right now, cannot do this job. Maybe if I could recover for a few weeks or months, I could get better, but I was new anyways. And I knew I'd get fired, so I'd rather just quit. I've got a bit in savings. I mean, not much, so if push came to shove, I could always move in with my brother or something for a bit. I don't know. What I do know is that I cannot continue in this line of work right now. I haven't been sleeping well, but when I do drift off, I'm plagued by dreams and phantoms of that scene. I see the room soaked in death, the shell of a man in that box, and more and more, that doll, that animatronic dog. Its eyes tend to follow me as I examine the room. And each night the dream recurs, the eyes grow more affixed to me, to my eyes. They can't stay away from me. And last night, as I returned to that stare, I discovered the animatronic's eyes were no longer composed of plastic and glass, but seemed to shimmer organically as I watched the pupils within the brown irises dilate and grow increasingly red. I really hope I can put this behind me. God have mercy on that poor man's soul, and God deliver me from this recurring nightmare. Okay. Thank you all for listening to tonight's episode of Clancy Pasta. I really hope you enjoyed. This is the first sequel story that's been on this channel in quite a while. So I really hope you all enjoyed. Part one is in the description below. And yeah, just thank you all again for listening. Really hope you enjoyed. If you did, if you could subscribe or follow for more, give the video a like or comment below. And let me know what you thought. Huge thanks to all of my patrons and YouTube supporters. Really couldn't do this without you. And if you'd like access to ad-free narrations along with some bonus stuff, you can always go to patreon.com/clancypasta. I hope you're all having a great night, and I will talk to you all very soon. Cheers.